Excited. People talk about me smiling and stuff. I had fun with it today with somebody because they were like saying, well, Bob said about exercising his face muscles to try to smile. And I thought, no, I got this reverse problem. Like, I don't know what to do. It's like, wake up in the middle of the night. Forgive me, it's just the way I feel. I'm happy. I'm just silly. I feel fun. Come on, guys. I've been saying it all week. Some of you are visiting. Some of it's your first time. Good tidings of great joy. If there's a lack of great joy, it's because we're not discerning the good tidings. The good tidings are automatic great joy. You're not trying to be happy. You're not trying to have a good day. The good tidings bring the great joy. The great joy is directly married to the good tidings. So if it just becomes, say, a prayer to go to heaven, you're going to miss because it's going to be like hell on the earth. You're just going to get into Christian tradition and routine and just go to church and serve in the ministry and make sure you read your Bible every day and pray before bed. Come on, some of you need to do that with me. Because you know what I mean. That's why I didn't go to church after age 20. And then I got married and I told my wife I was a Christian because it worked. And when she started realizing that maybe I wasn't, or maybe I changed, but never. I said, well, I'll go with her just to make her happy. So I went for a couple years. It just didn't work. I just stopped going. And for 8 years, I didn't go anywhere. Because I thought being a Christian was going to church and trying to live a little better life than people that didn't go to church, or going to church so you can make heaven and not go to hell. And I just thought church was something you were supposed to do. I didn't realize I was the church. I didn't realize I was created to be a son. I didn't realize that God loved me and wanted to fill me with His Spirit and wash over me with His amazing grace. I didn't realize life was so worth living. I didn't realize that it was so awesome to be alive, because life's in Him and He wanted to breathe that back into me, because that was lost through the fall, and He wanted to hold me and cuddle me and lead me through life. I didn't understand that. I didn't understand it was more than going to church. I didn't understand it was taking on the nature and heart of God and actually becoming love from the inside out, looking at people the way God sees people and living life the way God created me to live life, to follow Jesus. Oh man, I thought it was a prayer to go to heaven. And now I realize it's heaven coming into me. Being made one with Father. Come on. It's such a big deal. Is it a big deal or what? I used to think this fellow Jesus had to die because my life was such a mess up. And the more I heard the gospel, the more I went to church, the more conscious I was and aware of what I was aware of was that I was my life was full of sin. And nobody ever told me in my entire life that Jesus died on the cross because of my original root value with Him. Nobody ever told me that He paid the highest price because I'm worth a lot to God. Nobody ever told me that the reason He died was to get the lie off of me so truth could manifest. Nobody ever taught me that. I was always conscious of sin. I was always trying not to sin when I was young. And I was aware that I couldn't not sin. And when I woke up and tried not to sin, I was damned and destined to sin in no time. I was conscious of my failures and faults. And then I thought this poor fella had to die because I'm such a mess. And I thought I was going to always be such a mess until the day I died. And one day by mercy, He just received me in to be in His heaven that I knew nothing about. It just seemed weird, like I'd finally get to meet this guy. Come on, that's almost how it is with lots of Christians. It's becoming one with Him. It's putting off the old and putting on the new. Guys, I didn't pray a prayer to go to heaven. That was not my motivation to get my name in a book. I got restored back to my original value. The reason I'm on the earth got restored through Jesus Christ. He paid the highest price to get back the highest value that I have in Him, and that's to walk in His image. Come on, it's to manifest His heart. It's to see myself the way He sees me so I can see you the way He sees me. Because then I can love my neighbor as I love myself. I don't have to tolerate you, put up with you, endure you. Well, I'm supposed to love you, but I don't like you. Oh, come on. Come on, who wants something real? We all say we're done with religion. Why do we submit to it? Why do we point to little, you know, churches and denomination names and call it religious when we might have been bound by it for a long time? It's time to be free and live this life and manifest Him.
Yeah.
It's all about becoming love. It's the reason you're on the planet. You were created in God's image. You were created to love. God is love. Yeah. Come on, nobody ever told me He died because I was worth His death. God seems to think so. He didn't die and shed His blood so I remain a conscious sinner waiting to go to heaven by His mercy. He died to get the identity of sin off of me so I could wear sonship and walk in holiness. Come on, it's all through your Bible. But nobody ever taught me that. They just said, pray this prayer because you've been a bad boy. And then we have altar call after altar call like this. Some of you aren't living for God. Some of you have things in your life. You know how we are. Come on, don't lie. You know our tendencies. You know the things we do in secret. And we talk as if it's normal and common and that everybody has to constantly fail and we're damned and doomed by sin now that He's died to pay the price for it. And week after week, we crawl to the other more altar and cry. It's not repentance. It's not change. It's just more consciousness of sin.
Yeah.
When are we ever free from sin? When are we ever free from its power? This gospel makes so much provision for freedom. It says, even if I do sin, last thing I'm thinking is sin, guys. Get it out of your mind. It's out of mine. I'm asking you, get it out of yours. Get it out of your heart. Get it out of your mind. Stop thinking about the sin and the devil. They're the two things that stumble us all the time. Why are we thinking of sin and making much of sin and much of the devil? Make much of Jesus. Make much of the cross. Make much of forgiveness. Make much of mercy. Make much of redemption and the love of Papa and Holy Spirit on the inside. Because if you're righteous, conscious, you'll bear fruit to holiness. You're not waking up trying to be a Christian. You're a son. You're a daughter, possessed and consumed by God, bought through the blood of Jesus Christ. You're not trying not to sin. You're learning to be a son.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get it?
Yeah.
You better. I'll just keep preaching it till you get it. I'll preach it after you get it. Because it's still the truth and it's the only truth. It's such a... Peter preaches in the book of Peter, and he says that if we add these things to our faith after telling us the promises aren't to meet our needs, they're to partake of His divine nature. 2 Peter 1. The promises are to partake of His divine nature so that we escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. Guess what we just escaped? We denied ourselves, picked up a cross, we're following Him. We're no longer self-serving, self-purposed, self-driven individuals. We've become love. No love in selfishness, no selfishness in love. It's 180 sides of the coin. God created us in His image. We became totally selfish and self-consumed and self-concerned when we fell. And we took on the nature of God's enemy. We weren't created that way, we became that way. Jesus said, unless you deny yourself. What we inherited through the fall, we give back through our born-again experience. You were never created for you in the first place. Why is it a hard thing to give back what God never gave us? Why is it a hard thing to give back what God never gave us? Why do we cleave and covet and hold on to something that was never ours in the first place? Why not just give it up because it was given to us through a lie, through deception, way back in the garden when they ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Why would we covet something that didn't come from God? We're not just praying a prayer to be forgiven so we can go to heaven. Our nature's being changed. Our hearts are being changed. Our lives are being transformed because we're following one so lovely. He walked totally selfless on the earth. He walked totally surrendered to God's will. He walked in perfect, unconditional love. And that same Jesus said, follow me. He's firstborn among many brethren. We're predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son. They're all scriptures, by the way. I feel like I don't have much time and I got to just machine gun you, get the DVD. Nobody's standing when I'm done. Jesus Christ. Serious. Not a lie in the house. We're just wrecking them. I feel really unusually different right now, and it's just, I feel silly, I feel happy, but I feel calculated. I think I'm making sense. I'm not a butterfly floating from rock to rock and tree to tree. Life is fun. I'm making sense. But I'm free on the inside because He set me free. Bless you, Pastor. It's good to see you. God bless you. I see Jesus in your countenance. I see the purity of your heart. I bless you. Bless you. I'm a man of God, so I wouldn't just say that to sound good. That's what I see when I look at you, Roger. Bless you. Bless you. Father, I ask you to continue to bless him with understanding and revelation. I ask you to continue to pour your spirit out upon him. Let his heart be amazingly encouraged in this hour and never discouraged. I ask you, Lord God, to continue to give him wisdom and direction and pour your favor and blessing upon his heart. I thank you, Lord, for making things clearer and crisper than ever before in his life. And I just thank you for this is a great day to be alive. Let his heart see it and let his lips rejoice in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen. 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 There's favor available for you. Don't you think anything less. The hand of God is upon your life. Thank you, Papa. Yeah. All of a sudden, I feel sober. Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
I'm having so much fun with you guys. Listen, get this. When man sinned in the garden, his identity was lost. His nature changed. He didn't just sin. He took on the nature of the very enemy of God. That's what happened in the garden. He lost his original appearance and value. I told you the other night the reason Jesus was beaten beyond description in the garden. The reason they had to beat him again and again and again till he didn't even look like a man. Till he was unrecognizable, because when sin got done with us, we looked nothing like we were created to be. When sin got finished with us, we had lost the beautiful appearance of God in man. And it was man all about man. Self-serving and self-centered and self-sufficient. But yet not. And Jesus had to become like us so we could become like him. A son. You don't pray a prayer to go to heaven. You pray a prayer to obtain sonship. To be brought back to original value and have your sins and its consciousness removed forever. Yeah. And present your members blameless and holy and above reproach, and indeed continue in the faith, and let your heart be established in this hope in which you're hearing. Colossians chapter 1. All these scriptures are in the Bible, I promise. Get a CD. Get on your computer. They're there. I read the book. And you know what it did? It went like this. Watch. It wasn't, I'm not against the glory and the manifestations of the glory. That would be ridiculous. But it wasn't a mist that came into the room and fell on me. It was truth going inside and doing this. Truth mixed with faith. That's what truth making a man free looks like, if you didn't know. Duh, duh, yeah, yeah. Come on! It's not... It's seeing what I never saw before. It's seeing what I never saw before so I can become what I've never been. And if we'll see him as he is, we know this, we'll be like him. Yeah. You all right?
Yeah.
Man, I feel flat out happy. Yeah. Is the Bible and the gospel encouraging, edifying? When you understand. It's good tidings of what? God forbid we miss the power of these good tidings, because it produces great joy. That's my problem. Yay. Do you know, I was going through something physically years ago. I told some people this today. I was passed out in the bathroom. My wife came to find me and she said, it looked like I was dead. My face was shrunk in and white, and I'm leaning against the... I literally had no consciousness. I passed out. I don't remember a thing. She said to me, honey, are you okay? She said, I went. This is the truth. Possessed and consumed by Holy Spirit through relationship. Not trying to be something on the outside. Not trying to apply sermons to be something. Getting alone with Him and letting His grace mold you and fashion you and shape you and yielding yourself to Him till you become one. Till Christ in you, the hope of glory, is the manifestation of your life. Till Holy Spirit is in domination of who you are. Where you're not getting in a jam and saying, okay, what am I supposed to do? Stop, look, listen. Where you just become the Word made flesh.
Yeah.
Oh man, I hope you're hearing me. Yeah. Don't you sell the grace short. The grace is here. Jesus died and rose again. The grace is on the planet. Don't you intellectualize yourself out of it. Don't miss one drop that's available. Let it have full place in your life. Because I'm unconscious. I don't even remember. And out of my spirit, from the inside, my best friend, he smiled through me. And he said, I'm okay, Kimmy. Well, you don't look okay. What's going on? It's okay, honey. I don't remember this. She said, I talk so soft and so gentle. She said, I said, it's just the devil. It's okay. He's a liar. He's like coming to nothing. I'm fine. I like that.
Yeah.
Oh. That sure beats, and I'm not being smart. Oh my God, honey, please pray for me. Oh my God, I'm so scared. Oh my God, you got to see me. And then we say, well, we prayed. Do you know most of the time we take on the identity of what we're going through instead of the identity of what He went through?
Yeah.
And then we apply the Bible principles to get the results that it promises from the place of fear, self-concern, and worry. Do you know that a lot of the times we're just turning the Bible into principles that we apply to get results because we're freaked out and scared half to death? I'm just talking plain. Yeah, that's not really supposed to hurt too bad. Don't ow too much. I mean. She said it. Ow. No, come on. There's not a mean bone in my body in what I'm saying. A lot of times we take on the identity of what we're going through and take that to God. We're to take on the identity of what He went through and take that to the problem. It's a total transition of life. It's a total transformation of heart and soul. It's a total change of mind and perspective. Bob said it today. You're not on the defense. You're not on the run. You're in the Christ. That's not arrogant. That's not haughty. But you ought to feel what I feel inside right now.
Yeah.
You know, people get accused of strutting when they preach. Sometimes you have to keep from it. You feel like, why? Because the Spirit of the living God is on the inside. There's nothing wrong with knowing that when He is the reason.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a human thing. It's not a proud thing. It's not a puffed up thing. It's not a see what I can do. I'm not afraid. It's a humble thing that when you're alone, it makes you cry because He's given us the kingdom.
Yeah.
But sometimes He lets you feel a little tiny glimmer. Or I can't even imagine what He feels. I've stepped into little glimmers of what I'm talking about. Just little. And it's like, whew. But in places where it's impossible to fear, where it's impossible not to see it happening, where it's man and God becoming one through the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you know that's the heart of God in this gospel? It's called redemption. Brought back, bought back to original value. We've got to stop looking in the mirror and seeing ourselves for ourselves. We have to look in the mirror and see ourselves for Him, through Him. Not living for Him, living through Him. Not living to Him, living from Him.
Two have become one. He lives in us.
Yeah.
He lives in me. He could live anywhere. He said, I'll buy him out. I'm living there. Could you imagine the real estate agent? There.
Yeah, I want to buy him. I want to live in him. Lord, there's a lot of better places you could live.
The only reason you feel that way is because you don't see what I see. When I move in and after I'm done with him, you'll understand. Because he'll look like me. But you don't understand the price. He's flesh and blood. He'll cost. I don't care the price. If I have to pay flesh and blood, I will, because you don't see his potential and value, but I do. Now let's sign this deal.
Oh, you better think that way. I'm worth the blood. If I had a resume on the desk of the Father, he'd read it and say, "Son, I need you to die so he can live, because his destiny's a son. And if you'll die, just one son, I'll obtain him as a son and many more if they'll just believe." You better get that real with this gospel. Well, you'll pray a prayer to go to heaven and try to stay faithful attending church. That doesn't mean you don't assemble yourselves together and go to churches. What I mean is that isn't your Christian identity. Right. You are the church. Right. Yeah. Just cheering you on. It's the final night. It's like the big hurrah. I'm just cheering you on. I'm just crying this truth out in the most simple childlike way I can, so it sticks in you and never leaves you. So that you can't think any different. So you can't look in the mirror and see anything but what he sees. You get it? It is refreshing. I feel refreshed. See, because when you live from this perspective, it's not life as it comes. It's not taking it as it comes and then trying to apply the word. That's how a lot of people are living. Oh, it's waking up in him. And pursuing him and living your life in him. It's a very powerful, beautiful place. That means, like, I'm going to talk straight, okay? You all right? You sure you're all right? You don't know what I'm going to say. Like bad days and all that stuff we psychologically assess, and we have rights to be less than all this stuff. See, it's because of the eye we look through. It reveals that we're still living from ourselves to the gospel, God for us, instead of manifesting him through every situation. See, when you get a trial, why is it so easy to grieve in a trial when it's a privilege to manifest truth, when it's a privilege to manifest the nature of God? When somebody does injustice against you, why is it such a bad day? Why isn't it such a privilege to manifest love and mercy and peace and do everything Jesus did for us? That should be normal. When you squeeze an orange, you expect orange juice. If it was apple juice, it would be weird. Why isn't it weird when you squeeze a Christian and everything but Christ comes out? That ought to be so weird. It ought to be so weird to squeeze a Christian and anything but Christ come out. That should be weird. Why? Because we're one in him and he's in us. He's redeemed us and restored us. Absolutely. Forgive me, guys, in the first five rows. I don't know why I'm here. I just keep parking right here.
That's
sorry.
All right. That's all right.
I'll come back up, Bob. Jesus loves you. I'll stand right in front of you. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's all about a nature change. It's all about transformation. It's all about becoming one with love. It's not about just loving your neighbor. It's about loving your enemies. It's about giving to those who use you and praying for those who use you and giving to those who despitefully take from you and use you. Jesus proved it when his own disciple cut a man's ear off. He's across the line. He's on enemy side, seems to be, but our war's not flesh and blood. Amazing. Jesus didn't use his ear to power play him into the kingdom. He just put it on and rebuked his disciple. Put yourself in the man's shoes that just got his ear healed. You're there to accuse the innocent. You're there to crucify Jesus. You're there to take him to the high priest. You're helping the clan with swords and clubs to turn in this heretic or whatever. And your ear was just cut off. And Jesus walks up to the man. And whether he recreated it or picked it up and popped it on is irrelevant to me. He fixed it. He healed it. And I picture it this way. I picture him going, "Ah," and him just saying, "Peter, put away your sword. Don't you know, Peter?" The guy's fixed, right? He's fixed. In the Bible, he never talks to Malchus. He doesn't power play him with his need. He doesn't get him to pray the prayer through his need. Because when he does cross the line, it needs to be because of one so lovely, not one that meets his need. It has to be because of love, not provision.
Come on, we preach the gospel that way all the time. We power play souls. We power play people and we get them to cross the line and miss love. And if they don't see His first love, they can't love much. And it's all about love. So if I don't come in this thing because of love, I'll never become love.
That's awesome.
I can help you. I can fix you. But you have a problem. You're on the wrong side of the fence. And I'm the one that helps you and meets your need. And if you'll repent and cross this line, I can make you whole. That's how we preach the gospel. Here's how Jesus preaches the gospel. Peter, put away your sword. Don't you know those that live by the sword are going to die by the sword? Listen, people, you come to me with clubs and swords as if I'm a thief. I spoke every day in the temple. He never says a word to the man. Put yourself in his shoes as they bind him and strike him in the head and mock him and lead him away. Put yourself in his shoes as they judge him, as they curse him, as they send him to Pilate. Put yourself in his shoes as he's dying on the cross. And all of a sudden, he can't escape love. All of a sudden, he can't hide from the reality of love. All of a sudden, the goodness of God leads men to repentance because mercy triumphs over judgment and love covers a multitude of sin. And the righteous comes to save the unrighteous, so the unrighteous become righteous. Put yourself in Malchus's shoes. There's no way to escape that. I believe with all my heart we'll see him in eternal everlasting life. There's no way to hide. Don't you power play the gospel in men's souls based on their need. You teach them Jesus' love by becoming it. And when they cross the line, it's because he's amazing. And they've never saw anyone like him. You hear me? We'll do a whole lot more effectively if we preach on men's value instead of men's sins. Because if you preach on men's values, it'll separate them from their sins because they'll wonder why they're living so below the truth once it pierces their heart. And the truth will begin to make them free. You point out sin, you make men conscious of sin, and then they're in a war against it, and Jesus already won it. You preach on value, you'll call men up and out of the bondage of sin. You teach men's value and purpose in their created identity through God, and they'll have a desire to live toward that and for that.
Yeah.
Come on, I'm preaching clear gospel to you. You've got to take this into your life and your heart first. Become it and manifest it to the world. Come on. Two greatest commandments. You can hang all the law and the prophets on these two commandments, right? Jesus said you can hang all the law, all the prophets on these two commandments. Love God with everything you are. Right? And the Bible teaches you can't love Him unless you see His first love. So the way you come into this thing has to be He loves you. Has to be. Not you're a sinner and you need to repent. When you see He loves you, it'll convict you of the sin and you'll want to repent. It's not because, look, if you don't pray this prayer, you're going to go to hell and not heaven. And if you die tonight and don't know where you're going, I need to know who you are so we can pray this prayer. Not a fan of that, because I don't see it in my Bible. It's all about the change of nature. It's all about who you're created to be. It's not about saving yourself. It's about dying to yourself so you can live unto Him. See, the Pharisees didn't get it because Jesus is on the cross and they're mocking Him because He looks defeated. He looks at His weakest point. And now they're pretty cocky and arrogant because there He hangs. We've done it. We've pulled it off. We've killed this blasphemer. And they're looking at Him. Ha! You helped others. Can't even help yourself. Yeah, come on. You're the Son of God. Ask God to come save you. Look, you saved others can't save yourself. Save yourself if you're the Son of God. Come down from the cross if you're who you say you are. Totally missing the whole point. He's not there to save himself. He's there to save them.
Yay!
You get it?
Yeah.
But man, through the fall, became self-centered. Self-focused. Now, I'm a little passionate right now. I'm not mad at anybody. Don't misread my emotion. This thing's getting even hotter in me right now. We have preached this gospel in this country at the cost of creating even a stronger stronghold of selfishness now that we're confessing Christians than before we even prayed the prayer. Because we make it all about us receiving from God and being provided for from God and all these promises for a better day. And some of us are only using our faith for a better travel to work instead of a transformed nature.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Come on, I'm not mad at you. This is truth, and Jesus didn't pay for that. He paid for a born-again experience, not applying principles to give you a better day. Don't exasperate all your faith just for a parking spot. If God blesses you or you have faith for favor, fine. But the problem is when you don't get it, you wonder what you did wrong and it separates your identity and you start living with a veiled face instead of unveiled. You had 3 red lights instead of 2 and you wonder where you missed God or does he hear you today and love you. People do that stuff. And they question all the time their identity. Come with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. For you're being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, man. Do you see what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
What's wrong with me is I believe what I'm telling you.
Hallelujah.
And watch this. Here's the security of it. And I know this isn't the case, but not one of you would have to believe it. Doesn't change a thing. Every one of you can curse me and leave. I know that's not the case. What I'm saying is, why are we determined by men and life instead of truth? When do we get alone with God and really surrender and yield and let Him love us and forgive us and wash us? When do we stop calling friends for prayer and ministry and deliverance and just stand in our bedroom and say, thank you, you've delivered me. Thank you, you've translated me from the power of darkness. Thank you that sin shall have no dominion over me because you cursed it in the flesh and I go free. Come on! That should be the Christian prayer. Not, oh God, help me God, please God. Car's not running quite right. The boss is acting like a jerk. And Freddie, my coworker, I can hardly stand him. Please God, would you knock them off their horse and change them? That's kind of stuff we do. God, they're really getting on my nerves. Would you please touch them? He's thinking, I wish you'd let me touch you. Because I promise you, you never got on God's nerves. You provoked His mercy and His grace in any way you lived outside of Him. He didn't avoid you, He pursued you. Because He knew the truth about you. And He realized you were living way less than your created value in a blind and a demise of deception. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. I'm guilty of preaching the gospel again to you tonight. I hope you're hearing. I want to read what Peter said, okay? I feel like I'm supposed to do that. Yep, I'm supposed to do that. I had to check in with Papa. 2 Peter chapter 1, real quick. I want to be quick with this. And we're just going to close and pray for one another. God, you're so amazingly good. Come on. I don't come to God because I'm afraid of God. I don't come to God because I'm afraid of judgment. I come to God because He came to me through His Son and I realize He loves me and He's trying to show me something I've never seen about me. And if I'll let Him love me, I'll begin to enter into that truth and become everything He designed and created me to be. Stop running from that truth. Anyone in this place that would run from that, don't be your own worst enemy. You don't need another critic. You don't need to criticize yourself. You don't need to be your own. You know what I'm saying? It's time to let the gospel love you. Those two greatest commandments, love Him with everything and love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't love yourself in God, you'll never see others in God. If you don't love yourself, how can you love the world around you? At best, you'll just kind of reach out as some false thing to try to make you feel better about yourself because you're reaching out. But it's not love. It's actually... You get it? Come on. Trying to meet your own empty, deficit, twisted need. All of a sudden, you're reaching out for you. That's why when people don't receive you reaching out, you feel rejected. It's impossible to reject love because love doesn't reach out for itself. It reaches out for others. It's impossible for you to reject me. I'm accepted in the Beloved and I love you. And you don't have to receive it. I won't feel rejected. I will grieve on the inside, pray, intercession, tears, and it'll manifest more love. I want you to all look me in the eyes. I don't have a devil, okay? It's impossible for you to reject me. Because I love you. It's impossible for you to emotionally abuse me. Because I know the truth about me in Christ. And if you say anything less, you're just misinformed and don't understand. That doesn't make me arrogant. That's not like people that say, watch, that's not like people that say, well, I don't care what they say. Well, I already know who I am. God loves me. I don't care if they don't love me. You're already revealing that you're ripped by what they said and you're spiritually phrasing it because you're hurt and crushed. Okay, I'm on this thing now. It's impossible to have this, viably have this, and not have this. Totally impossible. Because the manifestation of this is this. Because you love God, and when you love God, you love your neighbor as yourself. And when you have a healthy view of yourself, you'll see others through that view. If you could ever see your value in Christ, you'll see everyone's value in Christ. It doesn't say unless they're acting like a jerk or knucklehead or the words we've grown up with. Because there's no such thing. They're misinformed, blinded people that need truth and your love and mercy. It's impossible to have this and not have this. I don't even encourage us to walk around and tell people how close we are to God and how much we pray and how much relationship we have God and how God meets us in the secret place and takes us and sits us on His lap in the throne room. That you don't have to verify and qualify all that. People will know you've been with God by your love. A lot of people say all this stuff to affirm what's already a deficit in their life. They're trying outwardly to affirm what they don't see they are. It's a false affirmation. It'll leave you dry in the end. You know them by their fruits, not their confessions. No one can do the things you do, Jesus. He didn't say no one can say the things you say. No one can do the things you do unless God be with him. You're the steward of your own heart, church. Protect it and guard it, Proverbs says, because out of it flows the issues of life. Keep your heart in him. He loves you, and He loves you so you become love. I say this with a passion all the time. The finished work of Christ, exalted and revealed, is when a man or woman becomes love, not prays a prayer to go to heaven. The finished work of Christ is fulfilled. Dividends paid in full. Total interest back to Father. The inheritance, the glory of the inheritance in the saints. There's an inheritance in the saints because there's a great deposit with interest. Oh, one for all. Conformed to his image, predestined to be sons. The greatest glory and exaltation of the finished work of Christ, the greatest dividend back to the Father, isn't when a man prays a prayer to get his name in a book called life. It's when his nature's changed back to original value. Yes. Yeah. Because then Christ just reproduced Himself again and again and again till the whole earth is filled with His glory. You getting it? Man. Yeah. Do you hear that little child? That's how I feel. That's how we ought to all feel. Man, we ought to lighten up and rejoice. The kingdom's come. We ought to rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Yeah, but brother, you don't understand. Obviously, you don't understand. If you say, yeah, but. We have a phrase back home. Yeah, buts are devils. Always. Unless they're, yeah, but God, rich in His mercy. Yeah, but God, right? He never created you to talk yourself out of Him. Don't say, well, God gave me the ability to reason and this and that. No, man submitted to another voice, and we've been subservient since, and we hear the stranger's voice, but we're called not to follow. The word has come, follow Jesus. We must be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Before they heard the voice in the garden, all they knew was God and His voice. It wasn't until suggestion came that man began to reason. All of a sudden, we don't get that part renewed in our life, and we talk ourselves out of power, talk ourselves out of forgiveness, talk ourselves out of love, talk ourselves out of hope. And our reasons almost sound viable to us, and we believe our reasons instead of His word.
Whoa.
Yeah, but brother, just let me explain. You don't understand. And all of a sudden, we're justifying things with human reasoning to qualify continuing in the flesh and selling ourselves short of a finished work. And we start believing those reasons. I've had hundreds of counseling appointments of people that sat me down to verify their reasons for being less than what I'm preaching. And I don't mind it because I gently, lovingly, with a sword, cut off that head.
Because I love you. It's an ugly head. That head is ugly. It's not you.
Serious. If you would just submit to the word, seriously, okay, this isn't judgmental. This is for us. I'll look up. I'm not looking at, you know, I don't want to cross eyes with somebody and you're talking to me. If you would sincerely lock yourself away with the word of God, and cry out sincerely from a heart of faith, I just want to know You. And in knowing You, I want to know who I've become. You won't help but to live by truth. God Himself will come and restore and renew your mind through truth. If any man, John 7:17, wills to do His will, wills to do His will, he will know the truth concerning doctrine, whether it's God or whether it's man. The pure in heart shall. I don't read my Bible to be right. I don't read my Bible for you. I read my Bible to know Him. You following me?
Yeah.
And Holy Spirit will reveal Him. Because I'm hungry and I'm seeking and I surely shall find.
Oh.
You know what Jesus told me the first time I ever preached? I was 6 months old in the Lord. And I was asked to preach. And I was a little nervous. And here's what the Lord told me. And I thought, I can't say that. That don't even sound fair. God's profuse. He said, I want you to open by saying you can have as much of God as you want, and as much of God as you see in a man's life is as much as he's really pursuing.
Amen.
And I thought, what?
And I thought, I'll just preach it and see how it flies.
And when I preached it, God gave me a whole lot of understanding behind it. And talked about hunger and real true desire. And you say, Dan, that's not a fair statement. Some people get deceived and some people get waylaid and some people... Yeah, but hunger rises above those things and refuses to be refused. There's a deep down heart cry in every one of us, or you wouldn't even be here this week, and some of us on a Saturday night. You know there's more. You want more. We have convictions all the time that there's more. Be real with me. All the time we get little flashbacks that we're really not satisfied. We're really not face to face like we could be. We're just scratching this thing. There's got to be more. There's a river. I feel like a stream, but there's a river. Come on, we all get that stuff. Who doesn't get that stuff? Come on. Deep down, and you could be a total unbeliever, and there's a knowing and an urging like that in your life, whether you realize what it is or not. It's a call to truth. Come on. Amen. So you respond to that, or we allow ourselves to be deceived by all these other things. And what God was telling me is He's totally available. Pastor, He was telling me He's not holding back. He's not holding back. You're not asking and He's saying no. Ask and it shall be given. What are we asking for? More of His Holy Spirit, understanding the power and presence of God, the manifestation of love. We're seeking Holy Spirit. We're seeking more of Him in our life, and He won't hold back. There's only one thing that can stop that process. If you don't come in this thing to be transformed into His image, you can't come in this thing for you. You've got to come in for His name's sake and for others. I am not alive for me. I'm alive for Him and you. That's why you can't hurt me. You're absolutely, this gospel rendered you powerless where that's concerned. You can edify me. You can sharpen me. You can cheer me on. I meet countless Christians hurt by the church, hurt by pastors, hurt by leaders, countless leaders hurt by their people. And I'm thinking, man, it sounds like none of us have died. It sounds like we're all living for us and incorporating God in and making Him in our image instead of Him in ours. What are you doing hurt? Why? Why aren't you crying for the person that hurt you because of what they're not seeing? Come on, we do it all the time. Say we were a church family and somebody went off the deep end and did something almost unspeakable. You know what we do? We surround the person that it was directed toward, that received the assault, the violation, and we cuddle them, sympathize with them, and say, I can't believe they did that. Are you okay, honey? Oh, honey, I know how you must feel. And we give them permission to be broken at the cost of the identity of the... We make them a victim and them an assailant. And we fail to realize they're not even the one with the problem. The assailant is, because he's desperately missing something to conduct his life that way. And instead of crying for him, we're so tired of being hurt, we're so violated, we're so in defense and protection of our own life that we get angry when we see others hurt. So we embrace them and cuddle them and give them permission to be in the flesh instead of teach them the heart and love of God and mercy and forgiveness. We do it all the time in the church. A spouse cheats on a spouse and we get devastated and broken, and then we all corral that person and can't believe this other person did that, and because this person's so awesome, how could they do that? Them knuckleheads, they don't know what they had and how good they had it. Well, they don't deserve anything now. Well, they've made their bed, they're going to sleep in it. Oh, bless you, honey. And we forget that this person isn't even the one with the problem. If the trumpet blows and Jesus comes, I don't know where things stand. Why don't we have mercy? We've been shown so much mercy. Why don't we have mercy? I wonder if we don't understand and we're in this thing for us instead of be transformed into His image. Do you know what Satan believes about every one of us? He believes you're in this for you, and the only reason you're seeking God is for what God can do for you. That's what Satan believes. I could show you that in the Bible. He told God, you take away Job's blessing, He'll curse you to your face like any other man. You know what he was saying to God? People don't love you. They all belong to me. They're all just like me. You know what I did to them in the garden? They became like me. Selfish, jealous, proud. They'll sell you out in a minute if things don't go their way. People don't love you. They've been severed from love. That's his accusation. Day and night against the church. That's why he brings trials and troubles and afflictions, because he believes you'll manifest selfishly. He believes you'll get mad at God and create theology. Why did God do this? Why did God allow this? Why is God putting me through this? Well, I got an issue with God. Well, I can't wait to get to heaven. I got some questions for the Lord. And all the while, it's the thief sneaking away like a snake in the grass, accusing God to men and men to God. And here we are, with untransformed minds and unrenewed hearts and minds, falling right into it with human wisdom in the way that seems right to a man, laced all through our gospel. Come on, I'm talking to you tonight. God never did anything but send his innocent son for our guilty lives. I bet he's not the problem. I bet he didn't let your child die. I bet he didn't kill your husband. I bet he didn't just let the tragedy happen flagrantly and just sit and whistle with his arms crossed and say, "Do you hear someone praying, Jesus?" I bet there's a thief, and I bet we're in a war. And I bet it's time to not love our own lives unto death so we can fight the good fight of faith and win and crush the head of the enemy. I bet it's time to get a right and healthy perspective and stop accusing God and calling him the thief along with the devil. It's pretty arrogant when the devil says to God's face, "Every man's like me. If things don't go their way, they'll curse you because they're only in it for them. Nobody loves you. Nobody really loves you. They all love themselves. But they'll receive from you. They'll take your blessing. They'll take your favor. But they don't love you because they've lost love." That's his arrogance. Don't you let that be true in your life. And when God showed me that, that sobered me. He ain't playing me like a puppet no more. Them strings are cut. He ain't playing me like a fool. The devil is lost. That thing is over. I love not my own life unto death. I have nothing in this thing for me whatsoever. That's why I can look you boldly in the face. I've been preaching like this for 15 years. And I can tell you I haven't had a conviction of being hurt or offended in 15 years. And I continue to say it. If I was popping off, I'd have been crushed long ago. I'm looking you in the eyes and telling you, I love you. You have no power over me. I love you. You can't offend me, emotionally abuse me. Let's get off of psychology and get into the gospel. Let's stop letting the way that seems right to a man be the way that we live. And let's let the gospel transform our heart and soul. Because if our eye is single, our whole body's filled with light. If we have a clear and single view, we'll live just like the Master. If I couldn't follow him, he never would have told me to. We think it's just the signs and wonders and miracles. No, it's the heart and nature and character. We think it's the power. It's the love. It's all about love. I didn't read 2 Peter. I probably preached it. Do you realize your sins are forgiven?
Amen.
Do you realize if you're sincere in your born-again experience that your sins are forgiven? That there's remission of sins. Not reminder of sins, remission. Hebrews 10 says that through one sacrifice he perfected forever. You're perfected. Holy and blameless and above reproach. You're righteous in the sight of God. The Bible says, reckon yourself dead to sin, alive to God. We're not fighting with sin. He already conquered it. God cursed sin in the flesh. Sin shall have no dominion over you. The law of the Spirit of life through Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. I live through Him. I'm alive. Sin is gone. I've been freed from sin. I could show you that phrase over and over and over in the Bible. And yet we preach the gospel and keep a sin consciousness intact and we're trying to live better lives. Are you kidding me? We're learning to be sons. We're already perfected. We're not waking up trying to live the Christian life. We're waking up being sons, redeemed, forgiven. Thank you, Father. What a good day to be alive. The blood of Jesus is on the mercy seat speaking on my behalf. And all you see is my value, my potential, and my destiny. And because your grace is in my life, surely it shall be fulfilled. Because I believe your gospel. Not what people say, not what I feel and think sometimes, not what I hear in my head at times, but from my heart, I know your word is true. And I'm right in your sight. And it's amazing to be alive in you. That ought to be our prayer lives.
Not a needs list a mile long that makes us conscious of maybe God doesn't hear me, doesn't He love me? I wonder where God is. Why does all this trouble? Why does everything have to happen to me? What's wrong with my faith? Nothing is wrong. Your perspective. It's not all about you. It's about you becoming like Him. See, Satan believes you're here for what God can do for you. He doesn't believe you're here for how God can transform you into His image. But wonder if we come so that we're more equipped to go. Wonder if every time we come, we see the union in marriage of coming and going. As you go ye therefore. Don't forsake the gathering of the brethren. As you go ye therefore. Gather together often as you see the day approaching. Go ye therefore as you go. You come to look more like Him when you go. You come to look more like Him when you go. You come to look. You don't come to do your Christian service. You don't come to do your duty. You don't come to get a check in the box of heaven. You come to look more like Him when you go. Come on! Wonder if you have that kind of purpose. Then it wouldn't be, oh no, that's right, it's Sunday. Yeah, honey, I'm getting ready. Okay, I can make it. And you're more conscious of the flesh than anything, and you get to church, and at least you're there, and hallelujah, praise God. Don't ever let that happen to you. That's a tragedy. You come with purpose to love one another. There's a whole lot more deeper purpose of family and local body and love and nurture and family. But I promise you, it's to never turn inward. It's to be more prepared to go. It's in the going. It's in the living. Amen? Amen. I'm messing up now. I'm just going to read this. I'm not going to preach it. I'm just going to read it, okay? Todd, I know you don't have faith for this, but pray for me. I'm going to read this and not preach it. You don't have faith, do you? You have faith. I can see it in you. She doesn't know me well enough. Don't talk her out of faith. Don't you be a voice of a stranger. Don't you be a voice of a... Pray for me, okay? And he'll repent.
All things are possible except that.
Don't listen. A stranger's voice I won't follow. Watch. Pray for me that I'll read this without preaching. All right? You all ready? We'll see. This is all on you now. We'll see if her prayers are effective. I got you so set up. We'll see what kind of intercessor you are. No, I'm kidding. I'm having so much fun tonight. Is it legal to have this much fun when we're together? I mean, is this like okay? Okay. 2 Peter chapter 1. Ready? Look in your Bibles. Well, let's just start in the beginning, and I'm just going to read. And I'm going to read down for a while here. About 13 verses, okay? So stay with me, please. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by righteous... Oh, why did I ask her to pray? With us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which you've been given exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises you would partake of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. But also, for this very reason, give all diligence to add to your faith virtue, to virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, perseverance, godliness, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he's been cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble.
For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know them and even now are established in this present truth. Yes, I think it's right, as long as I'm alive, to stir you up by reminding you of these truths, knowing that shortly I won't be here putting off this tent, just as Jesus showed me. Moreover, I'll be careful to ensure you always have a reminder of these things after my departure.
You made it.
Now, you're an amazing intercessor. Yeah. Todd, repent. Did you hear what he just said? If you lack these things, what are we? If we don't have the inspiration to pursue these truths, if we don't have that desire, what's happening? We become short-sighted. We're more sin-conscious. We forget we've been cleansed of sin. The Bible says you're cleansed of your sins. Yay! You know what we do? We equate our ability to commit sin or fall short to our identity. When your identity is in Christ and you let that build, and it begins to change your ability to sin. You're not damned and destined to get up and sin in the morning. I don't preach this much, and it's, you know, I got the video running, and I'm just past this thing now. I'm just going to let this thing out like it is. I don't even remember the last time that I felt convicted to repent of a flesh moral sin. I don't even remember. I know people think that's blasphemy because you say, hey, if you say you have not sinned, you make God a liar. You're deceived. And here's what he's saying. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all sin. If you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself and make God a liar. What's he saying? If you say you have no need for the blood. If you say you have not sinned. We take that one scripture out of context and give ourselves the permission to maintain a sin identity and consciousness. In fact, you got to go there real quick because this got to get blown out of the water. Do you want to blow this out of the water with me? Who can honestly, without hyping this, who can say you're absolutely tired of a sin conscious? You realize it hasn't produced life in our lives, right? So let's crush this thing. What do you say we go for it and let's blow this cow up? We don't even want to eat the steak from it, man. This cow isn't even edible. This thing, we're just going to kill it. Watch this. Verse 5, 1 John 1. This is the message which we've heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Where does he live?
Light.
Where does God live, though? Oh, so in me is light and there's no darkness at all. You can't sell me this dual nature thing and all this stuff. I'm one in Christ. He's not schizophrenic and he's not split personality. He's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Yeah. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, guess what we have? We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from how much sin?
All
sin. He's telling you you've become righteous. You're in the light as he's in the light. You're seen as a son as he's seen in a son. Two have become one. You're right in the sight of Father. Watch. If we say we have no sin, that's a self-righteous, self-sufficient man that says he can work his way to God, that he's a good man. He doesn't need the blood of Jesus. He's not guilty of sin. He says, I haven't sinned. I don't need the blood to cleanse me because I haven't sinned. That's all he's saying. You'll see this. If we confess our sins, see, here's the man that says, well, I have no sin. Paul says, that's deception. But if you confess, you have sinned. That's your born-again experience. You say, I have sinned. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from how much unrighteousness? Oh, watch. If we say we have not sinned, he's nailing it again because he wants no one in denial, no one in deception. He wants everybody humble and coming clean and repentant, for the kingdom of God is at hand. If we say we have not sinned, have not sinned. Do you hear what he's saying? If you say you have no need for the blood and you have not sinned, watch. We make him a liar and his word is not in us. So he's preaching righteousness, forgiveness of sins, free from the conscience of sin. And he's saying, if you say you don't need this mercy and you don't need this new identity, then you're already deceived. Watch. My little children, these things I write to you that you may not... See, we don't read in context. We pull a statement out, and when somebody's preaching truth, we don't realize how we've been deceived into pulling things out of context and actually combating truth and the real thing the Bible's saying. So when you start preaching and walking free from the convictions of sin and things like that, people go, oh my God, that's heresy. Oh my God, that's blasphemy. Everybody sins. We sin by noon. Oh my God, we wake up sinning. Ah! The Bible says, you're slave to righteousness, and its fruit is holiness. If I don't leave these double doors afraid of sinning, but I leave righteous as a son, guess what I'll live like? Righteous as a son. And along the way, if I trip into flesh or human weakness, I run to Papa and jump on his lap because I know it's not who he is in me and me in him. And he holds me there and makes me wiser, sharper, and smarter. And he breathes over me and cleanses me through the blood of Jesus. And I know him all the more and his love all the more. And I'm ready to roll all the more. Come on. You don't mope around for 3 days and lose your identity and call 14 people and put yourself down. And I can't believe I did this after 2 years. Maybe I'm not saved. Maybe I got a devil inside. Maybe I need deliverance. Maybe I wasn't sincere in the first place. Oh! I write these things so you do not sin. Can John possibly, 3 verses before, saying, look, you're always going to sin, you're damned to sin, and if you say you're not sinning, you're lying. And then 3 verses later say, now look, I'm writing this so you don't sin, but you always are gonna. I'm writing this so you don't sin, little children, but you're always gonna. Watch. Are you getting this?
Yeah.
It's so quiet, I'm wondering if you're getting this. Because you're getting it? Good. Watch this, chapter 2. My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if, not when.
Oh, you ought to read your Bible.
And if, not when. And if anyone sins. Are you saying you're perfect, Dan? I never said that at all. I said, the gospel's purified my heart, and I'm not thinking sin, I'm thinking righteousness. And it's actually a rare day that I have a conviction of a flesh sin. Jealousy is not in my heart. Pride's not in my heart anymore. The heart's been transformed. Lust is not an issue. Self-serving died, so sin's like really in trouble. Because the root of all sin is self. We're afraid to preach this way. So, I'll take the risk of getting crucified and I'll just preach.
Amen.
Jesus preached truth and some people didn't see it the same way he said it. But if I don't preach this out of my convictions, then we're going to keep living the same mindsets and produce the same fruit. And 50 more years from now, we'll just have church attendance. And you can go to church 50 years. 50 years. Serving a ministry faithfully, never miss a Sunday, get thrown into a trial and react like a man that's never went to church. There's something wrong with that. Because the blood of Jesus is greater. You get thrown into trial after 30 years of Christianity, thrown into trial and respond like the man that's an atheist and doesn't even believe there's God. That's the stuff that grates on my heart. That's the stuff that makes me cry for the bride. For us, the bride, not you, the bride, us, the bride. I say we and us when I pray for the bride. I don't say they and them. Because I'm growing like you're growing. God forbid I'm afraid to preach this truth even though it seems controversial. There's so many lies that we've embraced. There's so many partial truths that we've pulled out of context. How can I be freed from sin if he didn't destroy the power of it? Romans 6 says again and again, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. It says, I live by the Spirit, not the flesh. Don't be afraid to see yourself by the Spirit. Romans 6 talks about the accomplished work of Christ, dead to sin, alive to God. Romans 7 talks about a man still living under the law, under the carnal nature, under flesh. He's damned, he's doomed. The things he wants to do, he can't. Romans 8 talks about not being condemned because you live by grace, by Spirit, and not by flesh. And if you live by flesh, it's death. But if by the Spirit, life and peace. It says we aren't those that live by the flesh, for we're in the Spirit. Stop finding permission for a sin nature and a sin expression through Romans 7 without reading 6 and 8 as one big book. You can't get the wrong interpretation of 7 if you read 6 and 8 straight through. 6, 7, and 8 straight through. I was going to preach on it tonight, but I didn't have grace. It's too late now. But you read 6, 7, and 8. It's one big book. They're not chapters. It's one straight letter. You can read because the first verse of 7 says, or don't you know? And verse 8 says, therefore. Chapter 8, verse 1 says, therefore. That means it's one big letter. It's one progressive writing. You read 6, 7, and 8 in concession, and you'll get such an amazing clear understanding of what I'm saying. You've been freed from sin. Because you live by the Spirit. You're Spirit conscious. You're not fighting the flesh. That war is over. You say, yeah, but brother, the flesh and the Spirit are warring together. Not once you grow up in certain things in God. That flesh thing is over. I'm not warring in the... I don't wake up and say, down boy, knock it off, get in line. Flesh, you're a detriment to me. Come on. You believe that stuff, you'll have an excuse to remain in it. You say, yeah, but our spirit's willing, our flesh is weak. He was talking about a man apart from prayer. Pray. Watch and pray. Because your spirit's willing, your flesh is weak. Which means if you don't pray, you'll live by the weakness of your flesh. But if you pray, you'll live out of the strength of your spirit. We take one little phrase, flesh is weak, and we make that a doctrine. And then it gives us permission to live less than the gospel. Come on, we do it all the time. Get in the book for yourself. That's a good word, friends. Get in the book for yourself and read in context and find what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Because I'll tell you what, if you develop beliefs that are less than gospel, you're created for faith, and faith will actually defend the lie. When you hear truth, what you believe, even if it's a lie, you'll fight against that. And you'll shut it down. You'll shut the truth down and say, yeah, but this. And yeah, but if you say you don't have sin, oh man, that's heresy. And you won't even listen to the context of the Scripture because you shut it down because, oh, come on, I'm talking plain. Get in the book. I'm going to read one last thing if I have permission. You're certainly not going to tell me no. I can tell by your faces, even though some people might think, wrap it up, man. Can I read one more section of Scripture without preaching? I'll just read one more section of Scripture. I don't even need her to pray. I'm in this thing right now.
Your prayers are powerful, man. I don't even need you to pray anymore. It just covered the whole night. I can do it twice. I'm going to blow this one, I can tell.
Colossians chapter 3. Oh, it'll be good to just read this and not even preach. Serious, this is going to be easy for me. I'm not being funny. Oh, you've got to hear this. Are you ready to hear this?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
You all there? I'm waiting for the pages to stop. Colossians chapter 3. If you have a Bible, I want you to watch along. You all ready?
Yeah.
This is amazing. It's hard not to preach some of this stuff, but this one is so powerful, it just speaks. I am going to prephrase this so, because this is important and I'm not being silly, so just hear me serious. Halfway through this, you're going to hear put off these things. Anger and all this stuff. How can you do that without getting into works? You separate it from your identity. You don't try to stop being angry. You see yourself apart from anger and immersed in the love of God. And in your secret place of prayer, you thank God your nature's changed. You're not angry because you're changed in the way you see life and see people. And God, you're making your heart one with mine. And what I see is what you see. And I thank you I'm no longer driven by anger, fear, strife, stress, frustration. I am free because of your Spirit in me. That's how you put it off. By putting it out of your identity and wearing Christ. You ready to read? This is so powerful. This is going to be so convicting. And then we're going to pray, okay? Together, and then I'll release you to pray for the sick. If then, it's not challenging your salvation. It means since, okay? You ready? Since then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you'll also appear with Him in glory. Because of these things, put to death your members on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness. It's all idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon sons of disobedience, in which every one of you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now, you yourselves are to put off all these things: anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy, even filthy language out of your mouths. Don't lie to one another, since you've put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Where neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised, uncircumcision, assized, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, because of these things, as the elect of God, oh, listen, children, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also do. But above all these things, beloved, put on love. It is the bond of perfection. I bet I've been preaching the gospel all night long. Would you stand to your feet and submit to the truth right now and just yield? By standing to your feet, just say, "Here I am, God." Stand to your feet. "Here I am, God." This is just a corporate prayer. I'm just going to pray over all of us as God's people. And then I'm going to release you to pray for anyone that needs prayer, anybody that's sick in this place. And I'm going to do it corporately. I'm asking you in this place, don't run to certain individuals. Don't put your faith in men. Don't put your faith in women. We've been preaching the body all week long. You heard testimonies from what look like ordinary, everyday people that are possessed by the kingdom of God. So tonight, receive from Jesus when you're prayed for, and you give them Jesus when you pray. You don't have to have faith that God can do the healing. You have faith in God that He loves the person and paid the price necessary for their redemption.
Yay.
You're not trying to conceive the recreation of a body part. You're realizing that His love is amazing for them, and the price that He paid is sufficient. In Jesus' name, kingdom of God come. You get it? We're going to pray right now corporately. Father, we just thank You. Our hearts are before You. Father, we purpose right now in our heart to not love our own lives unto death, to lay down our lives, to deny ourselves. And we ask You to teach us, continually teach us, what that actually means and how that looks in everyday life. We're asking You for grace on that truth, God. But with all our heart, we're standing here saying, we won't make You in our image when You've made us in Yours. And Father, we don't want the way that seems right to a man laced through our gospel that You've given to us through Jesus Christ. It's Your gospel given to us. We don't want the way that seems right to a man. And we ask You to convict us and shine light on those things and drive out the weakness, the lies, the limitations in an everyday way and sharpen us and make us complete. We want to become love. We haven't prayed a prayer to go to heaven. We want to become love. We receive heaven into us, the nature of God, the life of God, and the wisdom of God. And Father, we stand before your holy presence and thank you. Your grace is sufficient for these things. Now, we haven't laid hands on everybody in this service and done any kind of impartation. There's an impartation of truth all week long, but I'm just going to pray a corporate, what I believe is impartation right now, and just bless you and pray grace over all of us as his people. You open your heart to God and just say thank you that this grace is sufficient for your life. Don't question anything. Don't demean yourself. Don't you leave here with a negative resume. You leave here rejoicing. You are the blood-bought children of God, perfect and pure in his sight. Father, I just thank you for the grace and revelation of your love. I thank you for the grace and revelation, Lord God, of your mercy, your righteousness, your forgiveness, and your redemption. I thank you, Lord God, for the profuseness of the answer through Christ coming and crushing all the things that seem like problems and limitations. I thank you, Lord God, we're answer conscious. We're looking to you. We're looking to the way. And we just thank you right now. I ask you to impart right now, individually and personally, every way necessary right now, God, in every way necessary, grace that abounds in each personal life to bring us to a place of a firm foundation, solid rock, Lord God, just the wise standing through everything. I thank you, Lord, it can never be the same. I thank you that eyes are clearer. I thank you that we're discerning and seeing things that are less than truth. I thank you you're making us sharp right now. You're imparting grace, Lord God, to separate us, God, from every limitation and cause us to live in the light. Father, I thank you for clarity. I thank you for the wisdom of God. I thank you for grace that's more than enough. And Father, most of all, I thank you for the faith in our hearts to see and receive your love through Jesus Christ, that nothing else could be the measuring stick of your love but Christ crucified. We don't need anything else. You have manifested your love through your Son, and now we're in him, living through him. I thank you for the grace upon this people, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And amen. I need you to do...